Okay, today's daf is Yud Testament Beis. Today's daf is actually Daf Chaf. We're starting from Yud Testament Beis by the Mishnah. Today's shiur is sponsored by Avrumi and Chavi Khan, Le'ilu Nishmas Avrumi's father, Moshe Eliezer ben Binyamin HaKohen, and it's also sponsored anonymously for Refu Shlomo for Tovi Shmuel ben Chanatzara. So, Dr. Mishnah. Bikesh l'his namnim. They wanted to keep the Kohen Gadol awake because they didn't want him to fall asleep, because they didn't want him to become a carry. So they kept him awake. So, Bikesh l'his namnim. Pirche Kahuna, Makin Lefanov, Be'etz Batsrada. The young Kahanim, the Pirche Kahuna, the young boys, they would keep the Kohen Gadol awake by, they would snap their fingers with their Etz Batsrada. The Gemara will explain what that means. So, Omrlo, when they would say to him, Ishi Kohen Gadol, Amod v'hafog achas al haritzpah. Get up, v'hafeg, and dispel the sleep, achas, one time, al haritzpah, on the floor. The Gemara will explain what that means. U'ma'asikin osu achi yigiz man shechita. And they would keep him busy this way until it came time to do the shechita for the Karban Talmid, which was the first event of the day. So it says the Gemara, my tzrada. What does it mean, tzrada? What kind of finger is that? Amar of Yehuda, tzrada dida. The one opposing this one. My he, what's that? Godel the thumb. Meaning the forefinger, which is the finger right out opposite the thumb, that's the one that they would use to snap. It's very difficult to make a nice sound like that. Some say it doesn't mean the front finger, it means the index finger, because you can't really snap with your front finger. As a matter of fact, the loudest sound you're going to get is with your middle finger. Others say, no, it was with the front finger, and they were able to do it very loud. Machvi Ravuna, Ravuna demonstrated, Azal Kala Bekuli Bei Rav. And he made an echo, a sound, throughout the whole base of Medrash. Some say from here that you see some say the Shumas Hadeshan says you see from here you're allowed to snap on Shabbos, because under the general prohibitions about clapping and dancing and these things that are related to klishir, snapping is not mentioned, and snapping here, they did it on Yom Kippur, they would snap. Others say maybe if you're snapping to get somebody's attention, that's mutter, but if you're snapping because, let's say, you want to make a rhythm or a beat, that might be a problem. Well, in the Beis HaMikdash. Oh, so that relates to the question of Ein Shavuos BaMikdash. Some say that's not an issue, something that doesn't apply for whatever reason, that no issue of Ein Shavuos BaMikdash. Right. Mayhi, V'omrim lo ishi Kohen Gadol hafog achas al ritzba, and they would tell the Kohen Gadol, go get rid of your sleep somehow. Amar Yitzchak al chadas. They would tell him to do something unusual, something unique. Mayhi, what's that? Amrilei achvui kida. They would tell him to do kida. What's kida? Kida is a very difficult kind of bowing where they would basically support themselves on their thumbs and then bow and face down. So if you don't know how to do it, it can be very dangerous. There's a story in the Gemara. One of the Amoraim, I think Levi. He became paralyzed or something. He hurt his back because he was trying to do this very strange, difficult type of bowing. Anyway, it would keep them going busy all night. Next, u'ma'asikin osu ad shehigia zman shechita. They would keep him awake. They would keep him busy like this until the zman shechita, until the time for the Karban Talmid. Tana, lo hayu ma'asikin osu. They wouldn't keep him awake. Lo b'nevel, not with instruments. Lo b'kina, not with a harp. Ela b'peh, with their mouth. U'ma hayu omrim, what would they say? It's a pasuk. In lo im Hashem lo yivne bayis, if Hashem won't build this house, shav amalo b'nuyav bo, then all our toil is going to be for naught. All it's told to me for nothing. Meaning, we can take all the precautions we want. We can seclude you for a week and feed you certain foods. We can do whatever we want. But if we don't ask for Hashem, if we don't beseech Hashem, it's all going to end up being for nothing. So it's like a hashkafa on Kippur night as he's getting ready to know that if he doesn't dive into Hashem and realize that he's the ultimate, it's going to nothing's going to be successful. Miyakiri Yerushalayim, from the nobles of Yerushalayim, Loha Yishen Kol Halayla. They would not sleep the whole night. So the Kohen Gadol should hear the sound of them being awake, the sound of them learning, and sleep would not overtake the Kohen Gadol. Tanya, Abishol Omer, they would even do this in the Gevulim, meaning not necessarily at the times of the Beis HaMikdash. They had a practice, to remember the Beis HaMikdash. They would stay up all night. But they let that led to sin. Amar Abaya says, V'tamer of Nachman by Yitzchak, Tirgama Naharda. You know what Abishol is talking about? He's talking about the town of Naharda. The Amar Le Eliyahu, apparently Eliyahu Anavi, said, Lord of Yehuda, Achuad Rav Salah Chasida. Eliyahu said to Rav Yehuda, the brother of Rav Salah Chasida, Amrishu, you ask, Eliyahu says, you want to know, Amai Lo Asi Mashiach, how come Mashiach's not coming? You want to know that question, right? Voidna Yom Dikipurihu, but today's Yom Kippur. Va'abol kam besulta benarda. And look how many virgins in Narda were violated. And you want to know why Mashiach's not coming? So I saw one, it's a very difficult line. What is the fact of Yom Kippur have to do here? That would be a reason if it wasn't Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur makes it worse, but we could imagine that Mashiach wouldn't be coming even if this wasn't Yom Kippur. And this is what they're doing to Basulas. So what's Yom Kippur going on? So I saw one shot says that we know there's a Gemara that says that if we keep two Shabbosos, then Miyad Digalim, right, it will be redeemed. So Yom Kippur is referred to as Shabbos Shabbosos. It's a double Shabbos. So all you have to do is keep one Yom Kippur. So even that they can't even. Just one day a year, they can't even do that. Otherwise, it needs a Pirush. Anyway, it's going to get more difficult. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they said, these people said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mai Omar, what's Hashem saying about this? Amalei, he's saying, LePesach Chatas Rovetz, sin is waiting by the door. V'Satan Mai Omar, what's the Satan saying? Amalei, he says, Satan, the Yom HaKippur, Leslie Reshutz Elas Tunei. On Yom Kippur, the Satan has no power to entice, no power to prosecute. Why not? Mimai, how do you know that? Amar Rabbi Bar Chama, Hasatan the Gematria Tlas Mea Vishitin Varbahavi. The Satan is Gematria 364. Tlas Mea Vishitin Varbah Yomi. So on 364 days, Isle Rishusa Listune, the Satan has power to entice, to prosecute, but Biyomi Kippur, Lesle Rishusa Listune. He doesn't have the power. What's going on here? So the Berimayim Chaim asks, first of all, if this is all true, so then how could this happen to the Basuls in Ahardah? How could that happen? How could people sin if the Satan's not working his work? How could that happen?
It's the Yitzhar.
The Yitzhar, Satan and the Yitzhar are the same thing. So how could that happen? So he says as follows. He says that what the Satan does is, what the Yitzhar does to a person is, he gets him to do Averis. He gets his tithes all worked up. And he gets him to do Averis. And once the Satan gets you into a trap, the Satan doesn't even have to do his work anymore. You've become so used to
it snowballs.
You've become so used to those Averis, you're almost like an autopilot, and Satan's out of the picture. He says, that's why Satan's not doing anything on Yom Kippur, you're doing it yourself. It's too late already. He says, that's why, out of all the psukim in the Torah and Tanakh, to mention Chet, Hashem picks, the Gemara picks the first one in the Torah that mentions it, L'Pesach Chatas Rovetz, which means sin's waiting by the door. What door is the sin waiting by? So Rashi says in Parashas Bereishis, he's waiting by the door of the womb. Right when you're born, the Satan comes in. Others say it means the grave, right? You're going to have to answer for all your sins. Right when you're born, the Satan's waiting by the door. Meaning, it's such an old fight. So by the time you're an adult, and by the time you have all these, it's already over. It's almost over. Which relates a little bit back to the thing about Mashiach, that in a way that B'nai Yisrael are ones, Satan's so powerful, what do you want from them? That answers that question. Now, the other question is, to be honest, and I should ask this question, why does the Gemara say that there are 364 days? We're not bound by it. We don't follow the solar calendar. We follow the lunar calendar. So what do you mean 365, 364? What about the lunar calendar? So the Merom Esada says that it's just a remez. It just means an idea that there's one day when we're free from him. Lab Dafka, 365, solar, lunar, just one day. It's a general. Okay, so the Gematria makes it all nice and good. Lav Dafka, that it's such a serious drasha, that it's such a problem with our calendar. That's what the Rami Sada says. The Astavash gives some amazing answers. He says as follows. He says, we know, when was the Yetzer Hara introduced into the world? When did that happen? It happened on the first day that Adam Rishon was born, which was a Friday. So the Medrash said that day, the sun didn't set. What happened? It stayed light throughout Shabbos till Matzah Shabbos. So that year, there was one day less than every other year, because the sun never set. The moon was working fine. But the sun, for whatever reason, Hashem, because of the light of the Aveira through Shabbos, so the sun never set. So that day had one day less than every other day of the year. Which day, so to speak, was taken out of the year? Yom Kippur. Why? It's a little bit of a stretch. So he says, because the first 9 days of the year is a unit. Because 9 are all single digits. The bridge between 9 and 10 is the bridge between single and plural. He says Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah have the same type of relationship. They're really two halves of one coin. Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah starts the process, Yom Kippur finishes it. So it's really, they have a connection similar to the connection of 9 and 10, which is taken from the single, taken to the plural, taking the Yom Hadin and going to the Yom, the Gemar Din. Very similar idea. So he says that So he says over here, this is Rabbi Yonatan Eibshitz, Ha'umat ha'olam monen chama, v'hamahale chama ha'yirak shin samach dalem, that year, ulakach, ha'satan begamachi shin samach dalem, avo yom kippur, hu ha'yom asher nizbatzer, that was the day that was left over, ki nechlat yom Rosh Hashanah l'shnayim, because Rosh Hashanah, so to speak, is split in two, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. U'mizeh nitzmach Yom Kippur shu asiri. So Yom Kippur, which was the 10th day, was saved. V'hu ha'yom asher lo yiched lo b'yimei shana. That's the day that has no, it has no power that day. Ki lo ha'yim b'shana rishona. Because in the first year, when everything was set, rak shin samach dal yom, only 364 days. U'lakach b'yom Kippur shu yom asiri, ein l'satan m'shus v'chelek lo. Satan has no power. Lakachu Yom Kippur Yom Echad. That's why Yom Kippur is only one day. That's what he said. Another reason. Yom Kippur is only one day. It's not 2 days. Shekhet Yoma. Only one day. Because that's this trad is a little bit of a stretch, but it explains at some level why we're going. Why, so Enochanami, of course we follow the lunar calendar. We only care about the lunar calendar. But regarding that first year, there was a Yom Kippur was not under the power of the Satan, and that lasted forever. Yes, yes, it does. Certainly does. It's unbelievable. One more pshat. Two more. The Igor de Kalab, I believe that's the Bnei Yitzchak. He says that if you take out a sefer achinuch and you look up the mitzvos, and if you go to the mitzvah Shin Samach Hei, which is 365, you're going to get to the mitzvah of vidui, Parshas Naso, the mitzvah of vidui of confession. So he says, of course we follow the lunar calendar. No, the Gemara is alluding to something totally different. The Gemara is alluding to the 365th mitzvah. Which mitzvah is that? Vidui. So when you come to Yom Kippur, and the Satan's trying to prosecute you, the Zohar says, what's the whole point of vidui? The point is, it's like moda b'kenas pater. I'm moda everything. What do you want from me? I'm moda everything. I admit it all. So the Satan tries to prosecute you on Yom Kippur. Hashem says, the person beat you to it. He's admitted it all already. You have no power. Right? So that's what it means that the Satan has no power. The Satan has no power on that day, which is synonymous with that mitzvah of vidui, because all the punch is taken out. The only problem with that is that if you look at the Sefer HaChinuch in our printed versions, it's really mitzvah 364. It's really one mitzvah off. I mean, B'nai Sassach himself wrote a Sefer HaMitzvos called Derech Pekudecha. He didn't finish it. But maybe he had a different gear, so maybe he had a different mitzvah that he counted. Maybe he was using a different list. But he got to 365, to the mitzvah of vidui, and that explains why it's not a problem with our calendar. Lastly, the Rabbi Yonatan Eibshitz also says, he says that really 10 off, because 365 to get to 355, really 10 off. So how are we going to get rid of 10? So he says, first of all, take away the hay of ha-satan. We don't like that anyway, because what do you mean ha-satan? Really satan. Take away the hay, you're left with 5. Where are the other 5 coming from? So he said the 5 are the 4 days after Yom Kippur and the first day of Sukkot. 4 days after Yom Kippur, even the Gemara says, there are Gemaras that after Yom, there was people that would bring korbanos every day. Maybe they did a chayit every day. But after Yom Kippur, they wouldn't. How could they do a chayit after Yom Kippur? It's not shayach. It's not possible. That extended all the way from Yom Kippur to Sukkot, and the first day of Sukkot, you have Sukkot, and Lulav, and Esrog. Not that the Sukkot doesn't have power. He does have power. He does have power. However, it's so the Bnei Yisrael on such a high level that it's not relevant to do Aveiro. It's not in the parasha. So therefore, we take away those 5 plus the 5, we get back to the same number as the Hebrew calendar. Okay. There's another pshat which I didn't fully understand that really the satan, really the word the it's also by the Rabbi Yonatan Eibshitz. He says the nun and the mem are interchangeable. You have, for example, migrashehem, migrashehen. It's the same word. They just change the nun and the mem. So he says that the word satan could really be satam with a mem. Like you have a pasuk vayistom Esav liYaakov. Esav hated Yaakov. Esav is also synonymous with the Yetzer Hara. So if you have the mem, then you have 10 less. You can have the same thing as a lunar month, lunar year. Then he said that the mem is related to midas this, and the nun is related to midas that, and it got very, 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 very esoteric, and I had a hard time understanding it. But one more thing before we go on, in the sixth pasuk of Sefer Iov, it says there that Iov was upset because his children were going off the derech. So it says, Vayihi Hayom, it was on that day, Vayavo Bneho Elokim, with Yatsiv al Hashem, that he went to talk to Hashem, to be with Hashem. And it says in the Pasuk, Vayavo Gam HaSatan B'Socham. Satan came along. So what day was that? Rashi says it was Rosh Hashanah. The Avudram says that it was Yom Kippur, because it says in the Targum over there, V'Havi B'Yom HaDina B'Reishat, it was Yom HaDin, Yom Kippur. So Avudram says, so what was Satan doing there for Yom Kippur? Agumar says Satan doesn't work. So the Avudram answers, it must be that this is going like the Shitos that Eov was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, let's say, and it must have been written before Matan Torah. And before Matan Torah, the Satan did have power. After Matan Torah, the power was taken away, which doesn't really go with the Shita that we just said before about the first year. But each of these explanations has to stand on its own legs. Exactly, they're mutually exclusive. Okay, now we can go back to Earth. So the Mishnah says, "B'chol yom, every day, torben es hamizbeach b'kriyas hagever." They used to. This has nothing to do with Yom Kippur. We're talking about every day of the year. Every day of the year, they would do trumas hadeshen. What's trumas hadeshen? Trumas hadeshen is they would go up onto the halacha is that all the avodas of kabanos that they were done by day. However, the burning of the fats, the burning of the kabanos, that was able to be done at night. So they would purposely push it off to the night. To give them, they wouldn't have to be busy with it during the day. They could be doing other things. So ashes were burning there the whole night. These kabanos were burning the whole night. In the morning, there was a special mitzvah to take a little bit of the ash and put it on the side of the mizbeach. And Rashi quotes, there was a miracle that it got absorbed into the ground every day. There was another mitzvah unrelated to this that was done whenever it got, whenever that pile of ash on the mizbeach got too full, they would remove it and take it away. The Rambam seems to say that was also done every day. That's a minority opinion. Most seem to say that was done whenever it had to be done. Lavdavka every day, but the Trumas Hadeshen as a procedure, as a ritual, was done every day. So we're talking about this ritual. So b'chol yom torben es hamizbeach b'kriyas hagever, at the call of the gever. What's that? That's going to be a machlokas on Amud Beis. Either it means a person or it means a rooster. O samachlo, or around that time, bein lefana bein la'achos, before or after, around that time. U'b'yom ha'kippur, but on Yom Kippur mechatzos, they would push it up to midnight. They would do it earlier, midnight. Uber regalim, and on the regalim, they would make it even earlier. Mashmur harishona, they would do it by the first watch. Remember, we had in Brachas Daf Gimel, there were three mishmaros throughout the night. So at the end of the first watch, then already they would do Trumas Hadeshen, but before midnight. V'lo hoise kriyas hagever magas, it didn't even have a chance for the rooster or for the person to call. This was done like right at the edge of the night when it was about to get like dawn time. Shahaisa azar mleya miyisrael, the azar was already full of people. It was so crowded already. Everybody was trying to get a head start to be there right away, even before 9 a.m. So the Gemara says, that the Gemara is going to have a kasha from another topic to relate back to Trumas Hadeshen. So Tanan Hasam, yeah. We learned over there. Where is this? It's in Zvachim. Evarim shepaku me'agabi ha'mizbeach. If evarim that are burning there on the Mizbeach all night, and they started to burst because they're hot. The heat of the intensity of the heat made them burst, and they fell off the mizbeach. And now they're on the floor. So do they have to be put back on? So the Gemara says, Kodem chatzos yachzer. Before chatzos, they have to be put back on. Why? Because mistama, they're not finished being burnt yet. They still have a little meat, they still have a little bone to them. They're not charcoal yet. And therefore, it's not finished. They have to be put back on. And umolim behem, and you over me'il if you use it, because it's still kodesh. After chatzos, mistama, by now it's already finished. It's already burnt. It's burnt to a crisp. It has no kedusha. It's not a carbon anymore. Now it's considered ashes. Therefore, lo yachzer, you do not have to return it. And ein molin behen, you don't have to, and you don't violate mi'ilo. So the Noam Elimelech has Alderish Drush. He says there are people that, especially in his time, that even today you can relate this var however you see fit, where they purify themselves. In those days, they used to do a lot of tanesim, fasting, and sigufim. They would hurt themselves, but maybe their eyes would wander in a way they shouldn't, or they'd say something they shouldn't say. They'd think things they shouldn't really think. So the Noam Elimelech al Dolosh Drush, if the Evarim fall off, you think you're such a tzaddik, you're so pure in all your avoda, but your Evarim start to fall off, yachzer, return them back. Meaning, sometimes it's worthwhile to focus on your individual chesronos rather than on the bigger picture. That's a derek drush. So Menachem Yili, where do you get this rule that midnight's the cutoff between what has to be burnt and what doesn't have to be burnt? What has to be returned and what doesn't have to be returned? Amarav, it's Pesukim. One pasuk says, Kal halayla v'hiktir. So that's not, there's no pasuk that says that. It's a corrupted pasuk. Rashi says what the pasuk says is, what it does say is, he ha'ola al mokda kol halayla. It stayed there all night, and it was getting burnt all night, which is mashma. It's got to be there all night. It says kol halayla, all night. The kasev echad omer, another pasuk says, kol halayla, all night, v'heirim. And you make Trumas Hadeshen out of it. So which one is it? Is it, does it have to be burnt, or you can make it into Trumas Hadeshen? So the Gemara says, Ketan, how could this be? It doesn't make sense. It's a contradiction. So the Gemara says, Nachal Kehu, split the night in half. Chetziyav l'hatara. The first half, it must stay burnt. The Chetziyav l'harama. And the second half, it could already be used as Trumas Hadeshen. So based on that, the Gemara is going to have a kasha from our Mishnah. Masiv of Kahana, b'chol hayom Torah nesamizbeach b'kriyas hagever. Our Mishnah said every day they would do trumas hadeshen b'kriyas hagever at the call of the gever. O samach lo bein lefana bein laachrov. Ubi yom kippurim mechatzos. Yom Kippur it would be done at midnight. Ubi regalim hashmuos harishona. And on the regalim it would be done even earlier than that. So wait a minute. V'isal kadayitach mechatzos daraisa. If you just said that the cutoff of chatzos is based on psukim, it's daraisa. So hechi makdiminon. How could you do it before chatzos? How could you ever do true session before chatzos? We just said in Amman Aleph that a midaraisa had to stay burnt. Couldn't do it earlier. All right, so the gears here vehechi ma'achuminon. That Rashi doesn't have that. The whole machlokas if it should be there. We learn simple. So how could it be? How could it be? So the Gemara answer is you're right. You're right. Based on those psukim are talking about the trumas hadeshen. That or the burning of the limbs, that you're right. That is a cutoff of chatzos and achar chatzos. But trumas hadeshen, unrelated to those limbs, is a separate story. It's not a problem. It's a separate story, the trumas hadeshen, unrelated to those limbs. We're talking about other ashes that are certainly burnt. El amar of Yochanan, mimash mishinema kol halayla. It says over there by the trumas hadeshen kol halayla. So, and then it also says over there the word boker. So, eini yodea shehi ad haboker. Don't I know that's till the morning? I know that already. If it means the whole night, it means till the morning. Ma talmud lomer ad haboker. What does it mean till the boker? So Gemara says, you know what it means? Tain boker lebakor shel laila. It means a portion of the morning before the morning. Meaning, at some time during the night, it's already fit to do trumas hadeshen. If the ashes are totally burnt, it's already fit. Hilkach, therefore, b'chol yom, every day of the year when we're not busy, a standard day, Torah minas hamizbeach, b'kriyas hagever, or samachlo, they were able to do the kriyas hagever, or near or around that time, bein lefana bein la'achrav sadia. That was enough. They didn't have to do it earlier in the night. They can do it at dawn time when the roosters crow, when the guy gets up to announce morning's coming. That was fine. But b'yom kippurim on yom kippur, dika chulshu the kohen gadol. The kohen gadol is very weak. He's fasting. He's a very busy man. He's up all night. So then, therefore, avdina mechatzos. They would do it at chatzos. Why? So he would do it at chatzos, and he would have a lot of time to rest. And get ready, they would snap, they would dance, whatever they did, bowing, whatever they would do to get ready, so they shouldn't fall asleep, but he wouldn't have to be busy working. Do it at midnight, you have a few hours now, and then at dawn we'll start the avodah of Yom Kippur. So that relates to a machlokas. Did the Kohen Gadol have to do non-Yom Kippur work? Like regular, did he have to? Did he have to do the Talmud? Did he have to do the Trumas Hadeshen? So it's a machlokas based on this. Some say yeah, some say that no, he didn't have to, especially the Trumas Hadeshen, which was done at night. But so, what does it mean? Chulshu the Kohen Gadol. It just means that they would get things ready so the Kohen Gadol wouldn't be so busy and so pressed for time when the day started. That's all it means. So they would do it at night, so he should have more free time during the day.
Is there a time frame for the rest of the Avodah Yom Kippur, or can he do it quickly?
We're gonna get to it. He went to the mikveh 10 times.
I know he went to the mikveh, but
it was a busy day. It was a busy day.
Saying, by the time the day was over, is any time that specific things had to be happening?
I don't know.
Because if not, then you say, let's start everything
right.
Right,
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
Down, right. Then you can do all the avodah, right. Still be able to finish the avodah quicker.
I don't know, because I know they had to wait for the walk of the Seir Azazel out to the Azazel. I don't know.
Like, he could rest
the right, was the downtime? I don't know.
He didn't go.
Someone else went.
No, I'm saying, but when the Seir went out, that was one of his
Okay, so well, we'll get to that. But either way, they just did it. They just jumped the gun to make the day a little less busy. But and on the regalim, and on the regalim, the nefishi Yisrael, where there's so many people there, for nefishi kabanos, so many kabanos, avdina meyashmar sarishana, they would even get an earlier start and do it by the first watch. The tiny tire, like the Mishnah said, lo haisa kriyas hagever magas acha haisa azar meleim Yisrael. The guy didn't even make that announcement, or the rooster didn't even crow, and the azar was already full. Now, my Kriyas HaGever, what is the Kriyas HaGever? So it's a machlokas. Rav Amar Kro Gavro, it's the call of a person. Verb Shila Amar Kro Tarnagola. No, it's the call of a rooster. Rav Ikol Asrei, the Rav Shela. Rav once went to Rav Shela's town, and Rav Shela, Rashi says Rav Shela didn't recognize Rav, even though I believe it's Nahar Doa. Rav was born there, went to Eretz Yisrael, and he came back 60 years later. So he might have been legendary in terms of his personality, but Rav Shela never saw him. So Rav Shela didn't know who it was. Anyway, Rav Shela was, it's in Rav Shela's town, Rav's sitting there, and lo hava amora lemekom aled Rav Shela. There was no amora there that was able to say over the shear in front of Rav Shela. Why? Because in those days, the Rav used to give a shear, and somebody else, a lower person, would repeat the shear to the Olam in a more easy way they could understand. And there was no one there. So Rav got up, come Rav, Olay become a Farish. Rav got up and he started the Darshan instead of for Rav Shela, as the Amora. Right, Amora means to speak. And then, in the middle of that shear, Rav Shela mentioned something about the Kriyas HaGever. And Rav Shela held it was a rooster. But when Rav is interpreting it, my become a Farish, my Kriyas HaGever. So Rav said, what does that mean? It means Kro Gavra, a person, like his own Shita. So Amalei Rav Shela, so Rav Shela said, Vileim Amar Kro Tarnagola. What do you mean? Why do you say my shita? I'm the one who gave him the shear. I said it means a rooster. Why are you changing it? So Amalei, so Rav answers back, Avuv lechori zemer, when a flute is played for noblemen, legardai lo makabli bine. The weavers can't not accept it. Weavers are low profession, low people. But meaning, my pshat was said in front of noblemen and it was held to be good. So it's certainly held acceptable by the lower people here. Right? He says, when I was in front of Ravchia, and I explained, what does that mean? Kro Gavra, the sound of a person, nobody answered me back, meaning they accepted that pshat. And you're telling me I should have said a different pshat about the rooster? So when Rav said that, Rav Shela realized it was Rav, because Ravchia was a Tana, and Rav was on the border. Right? Ravchia was Rav's uncle. So Who was the one who sang in front of Rav? He was greater than Rav. He was a Tana already. So it must have been Rav. So Amalei, Marni, Rav. You're Rav. I didn't realize. So Neinach Mar, you don't be my Amora for me. Look at someone else. You're Rav. So Amalei, so Rav said back, no, Amri Inish, people say, Itagris lay, puts Amri. If you do a job, finish it, even if it means you're going to have to comb the wool. Such a demeaning job, such a low job. If you're hired to do the work for the day, so do the work, whatever the master gives you, whatever it is, no matter how demeaning. I agreed to do the shear. I'm doing it already. I'm still continuing. Others say, this is what he said. No, once you do Kodesh, you don't go down. So Rashi says, Rav wasn't being boasting. Oh, you can't get someone less than me because I'm Malam Kodesh. No, Rashi says, Gnai HaDrashahu. It's a Gnai for the Drasha. It's a Gnai for the Drasha to replace somebody of less stature. Not that Rav needed the covet. It's a gnai for the drasha. So now the Gemara says, Tani kevase de Rav, Tani kevase de Rav Shela. We have a brisa that supports Rav and a brisa that supports Rav Shela. So where does this come from, halacha lemaisa? This whole issue of this machlok is what the word gever means. Could you think where it comes up? Aparus. This is the makar. Torah says, Yesh makomos, it's simen tof reish hei, hilchas yom kippur. Yesh mekomos shenog in lishcha tarnagol lekapara. Are they tarnagol for a kapara? V'chein yesh b'tshuvus ha-ga'onim v'sha'altim sh'anonog in lishcha erev yom kippurim tarnagol. They have the minhag to slaughter a chicken. V'ein ani yod de minhag zeh, lama. Why do we do this? Imishum tamura, if it's because of a tamura, this idea of transferring your averos to the animal, term means exchange, so maishna tarnagol. Why a chicken? Mibehem of a chaya. Why not an animal? It's more expensive. V'havadai kashi, certainly a kasha. Ella, he says, sheyesh bo shnei tayim. There's two reasons. Echad, first of all, shar tarnagol motzi bebeitzo yosu mikol behem achayev of. Chicken was the most common. It was the easiest thing to use, especially in those days. V'od, also, yesh b'mekomos, there are places, ashirim, rich people, sh'osin tumuras elim. They use rams. V'ikur bali kronim, or it's at least animals with horns. Why? The most elu shal Yitzchak Avinu. To remember the isle that was slaughtered instead of Yitzchak Avinu, right? Lefikach lo davar kavuhu. Then he says over here, V'od shemane mechacham harishonim sh'af al pisha behem adam mikar miosim tarnagol. Even though animals are more expensive than chickens, wouldn't that be a better binhag to use more expensive animals? Af al pikein, Tarnagol Mufchar. It's better to use a chicken. You know why? Lefisha Shmo Gether, because it's called a Gether. Because a chicken is the same word as you as a person. Kidamrin and Agamar Yumadafchaf, my Kra Gavra, Amr of Shela, Kra Tarnagol. Call a chicken. So a person and a chicken are called by the same thing. Therefore, there's a connection between the two. The kivut sheshmo gever, tumuras gever begever, mahani umali. The exchange of a gever to a gever, that's the best thing. And that's one of the reasons why we use a chicken based on this Gemara. Because Rav Shela said that what's a gever? A rooster. Okay, back to the Gemara. So we have a brayso that supports Rav and a brayso that supports Rav Shela. Tani kavase de Rav. What's the brayso that supports Rav? Rav Shela's brayso we're not going to get to until tomorrow. What's the brayso that supports Rav? Gvini Kruz. The Gvini, the crier, the Gvini was his name. The Gvini, the guy, used to cry out. What? Because the first crier was named Gvini, so that name stuck. So every crier was called Gvini. What do you see? The rise over. What do you see? The word Gever is a person. Mahu Omer, what would he say? Imdu kahanim lavodasem. The kahanim should get ready for their work. Levim l'duchnachem. The Levim should go to the duchen to sing shira. The Yisrael l'mamadchem. Yisraelim were designated as people who would represent, so to speak, Klal Yisrael in the Beis Hamikdash. Special days for them. They wouldn't fast. There was a whole yonta for them. However they were. Anyway, they would get ready. Them too get ready. V'yakol nishma b'shalosh parsos. And their voice was heard for three parsa. So is that literal? Is it an ace? Is it just the influence, the hashpa was heard far and wide? Maisa ba'agripas ha-melech, there was a story with Agrippa the king, shehayabah b'derech, he was going on the way, v'shama kol b'gil parsos, he heard the voice, the cry from three parts away. Again, is it literal or is it just the influence, the majesty, the aura of the Beis HaMikdash? U'kishabah l'beiso, when he got home, shigala matanos, he gave presents. Because he was so inspired by what he had heard. Vafal Pike, nevertheless, Kohen Gadol Meshubach Mimenu. The Kohen Gadol is even more special. The Amar Mar, because it says, Ukvar Amar Ana Hashem, as soon as the Kohen Gadol said Ana Hashem, like Ana Hashem is gonna say vidui, Vinishma Kol Bi Yericho. The voice was heard all the way in Yericho. Rashi says that this happened Kvar Pamachas, only one time. This happened. Where the Kohen Gadol said that and it was heard. Others say Lav Dafka one time. Rashi is referring to one time, but it happened all the time. And okay. No, what were you going to say?
Wasn't
Ana
Hashem when the Kohen Gadol said on
a kippur for
himself? His own personal
people? That's what Rashi says. Rashi says, Hayimaisi Kohen Gadol, Mizvada al Paro, his par. Biyomakipurim. Sfasem asks, what about the par for the seer? What about for the seer for Klal Yisrael? So it's a kasha. Why Rashi specifically? Maybe Rashi's going Lashitasa. That was the story. Others say Lav Dafka was an ace that happened all the time. And like we said before, the reason why it's not called one of the ten nisim that happened in the Beis Hamikdash was it didn't happen in the Beis Hamikdash. It happened in Yericho. It started here, but the effect was over there. The Rav says that only Yericho was zocha to this nace, not any other city, even if it was closer than Yericho, because Yericho was the Bikurim of Eretz Yisrael. It was the first city that was conquered and had a special merit, had a special place, and it was zocha to this nace. To have a shaykhus to Yerushalayim.
Very interesting shot this also, that which one, because Yericho was zocha to the coal of the shofar that threw down the walls.
Right.
Also, and so therefore, like, you hear the ringing, you always heard the ringing of the
Kol Shofar
in Yericho, so it's the same thing,
so
there's
also
to get this
call
for the
Mishnah Mishnah. Fine, very good. Okay, so now, not only that, when the Kol Gadol did this, he was tired, he was fasting, he was weak, he was up all night, and it would still be able to be heard so far away. When the crier cried, he wasn't tired, he just woke up. So, it's even a bigger Chiddush. Not only that, the Kohen Gadol did it during the day when things are more noisy, and this person did it at night, right at the end of the night, where it's much more quiet. So, and it was still being able to be heard so far away in Yericho. Why can't someone be heard by the day like he's heard by the night? Listen to this. Because the turning of the sun cuts through the rakia, kecheresh hamenaser barazim, like a carpenter cuts through wood. Not only that, v'achirga diyoma lo shmei, the sawdust of the day is called low, is called no, is called nothing. V'hainu k'dam nevuchadnezer, like the Nebuchadnezzar said, v'chaldayri ara kala chashvinan, all the inhabitants of the world are deemed, are cheshvined, are reckoned to be nothing. What do you mean they're reckoned to be nothing? They are nothing. The answer is no. Nothing is a state. Nothing is an existence. It's the sawdust of the world. Tana Rabbanan, Il Mole Gilgal Chama Nishma Kol Hamona Shel Romi. If not for the turning of the sun, If not for that noise, you'd be able to hear the noise of the streets of Rome. The Ilmale Kol Hamona Shel Romi, and if not for the noise of the streets of Rome, Nishma Kol Dagal Chama, you would be able to hear the sound of the turning of the sun. What does that mean? Rafik Yayam says something amazing. He says, what is represented by the turning of the sun? It's the idea, the conscious awareness, that time is slipping away. Time is passing. The days are going. The days are passing. What is represented by the streets of Rome? Olam Hazeh, Gashmias, the street, what goes on in the street, Taiva, it's all that. If you have, if not for the throngs, if not for the crowds, if not for the streets, if not for the Taivas, you would have much greater clarity that the day is passing you by. And if not for the, and thank goodness you have the clarity that the day is passing us by, and you spend it properly, and you utilize the sun, you utilize the time, you don't hear what's going on in the streets. That's it.